Hello. Again. Right. What a passage that is. I don't know whether the impact of those words quite hit you or not, but there are some really strong words from Jesus in that passage. Some passages I think I personally become so familiar with and have heard so many times that they perhaps lose the impact that they would have originally had on their hearers. Jesus says these words, and listen to the strength of these words. Truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God, like a little child, will never enter it. Some of his strongest words there, that, you know, there's no question marks there. What do you mean? It's kind of, yeah, this is what I mean. And my question this morning is, how seriously do we take those words that unless you become like a little child, unless you receive the kingdom of God like a child would receive it, you'll never enter it. By way of introduction, did anyone this week, you can just show me a hand, watch the program Old People's Home for Four-Year-Olds? Anyone see that? Yeah, a few people. It was great. The only disappointment for me was that you didn't see Elvin and Muriel playing Sleeping Lions with the children. So if you don't know about this program, it was filmed at St. Monica's, the homes up by across the downs there. And the premise of the program was that some of the more isolated residents, elderly residents, were brought together with a group of 10 four-year-olds for 6 weeks. And it was an experiment to see how that would impact on the health and well-being of these elderly residents. And basically, it was just an intergenerational nursery for 6 weeks. And I don't know if you watched it, I don't know how you responded to it, but I loved it. I thought it was such a great program. There were so many touching moments in this program where these children just, you know, changed the lives visibly of these residents. And I won't tell you what the findings of the experiment were, because if you do want to watch it after this great plug, then it will be on 4OD online. So you can go on there and see it, Old People's Home for Four-Year-Olds. But I read one review of it, and the reviewer said, you know, when I first came to watch it, I was really cynical about this. But her description of these children as 10 bundles of exuberant joy, youthful curiosity, and unself-conscious affection. Just a beautiful description of these children. We actually know one of the children that took part, and that was what they were. And they touched the lives of these elderly people dramatically. And what I noticed about it wasn't just their presence with them that touched them. They retaught these people lessons, life lessons, to give things a go, to live in the present moment with awe and wonder. These were some of the lessons that they were relearning in the show. And you could see, like I say, you could see a visible change in these people. And it just made me think, children, it turns out, have much to teach us. According to Jesus in this passage, they're the example to follow in receiving the kingdom of God. The example. Truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. So just a word again on the kingdom of God, because it's not a phrase we use nowadays, is it? We don't live in an era of kingdoms in the way that Jesus did, where kingdoms came and went and new kings came and took the land. Thankfully, well, in the West at least. So the kingdom of God, everyone was waiting for a day when the kingdom of God would reign, the Jewish people, every one of the Jewish people. Because in their minds at the moment, God didn't reign, Romans reigned. Occupying Romans, it was their rule that counted, their laws that counted, not God's. And the popular belief was that, there were various popular beliefs, that in the way that God's kingdom would come, One was it would come by violence and force and control, and that's how it would come. And a group called the Zealots believed that, and they said, come on, let's throw out these Romans violently so that God can reign here again. Another way, another popular belief, many of you will know this, was that God will reign when we all obey the law, when we're all holy enough, when we're all righteous enough, when we all do what God wants, which is written in here. When we do that properly, then God's kingdom will come. Another group said, let's hit the eject button, you know. God's kingdom isn't here. Let's get out into the desert where God can rule over us. We'll form a new community. And there was a group called the Essenes that believed that. And another group sort of said, well, if you can't beat them, join them. So we'll just collude with them and join in with the Romans and try and make our money's worth out of it. So Jesus comes in and shocks everyone. And this is such an important lesson for us. Because he said the kingdom, God's kingdom has nothing to do with the Romans. Stop blaming them that God's kingdom isn't here. It's nothing to do with that, with these circumstances. Jesus said, God's kingdom is here now. It's right here, right now, no matter what the circumstances. The first words of Jesus in Mark's gospel, you can look it up, Mark chapter 1, his first words are, the time has come. The kingdom of God is near, has come near. Repent and believe the good news. The time has come, the time is now. Stop waiting for the right conditions. Have eyes to see what's under your noses, he's saying. And whatever else Jesus says about the future, his primary concern, particularly in this Gospel of Mark, is heaven on earth now. God's kingdom here, now. That's why he teaches his disciples to pray. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And I wonder whether perhaps this is what it means, or part of what it means, to receive the kingdom of God like a child. To see that it's here now, that it doesn't depend on circumstances. It's in this present moment. Because children aren't generally concerned with someday in the future, except when it's waiting for Christmas and birthdays, I guess. But they have this ability to live in the present moment. And that, Jesus says, is what's needed to see and receive the kingdom of God. It's here, now. And if you're waiting for it, you'll miss it. So I believe that Jesus spends his ministry, his life, training people to have eyes to see what's right under their noses. God at work, here, now, today, in this present moment. There's a great passage in Luke chapter 17 where some Pharisees come and grill Jesus. And it says, Jesus, grilled by the Pharisees on when the kingdom of God would come, answered them. The kingdom of God doesn't come by counting days on a calendar, nor when someone says, look here, or there it is. And why? Because God's kingdom is already among you. So I think a challenge for us today in this community is, do we have eyes to see? Do we have ears to hear what God is doing among us? God's kingdom breaking out among us today. Just like little children being present to the moment. Not God over there at that other church or what God's doing elsewhere. God here in our midst, in our conversations. So how could Jesus make that audacious claim that God's kingdom was here? It didn't look like it. It really didn't look like it. These people were living in an occupied land. It just didn't look like it at all. And according to Jesus, God's kingdom could be here now because it was nothing like other kingdoms. Not one bit. Nothing like it. And this is so important for us to remember, because the church can easily get caught up in thinking that God's kingdom is like other kingdoms, that we need to be forceful, that it's about how big things are and how grand things are and the way things look. Look at the cathedrals in Europe, beautiful buildings, but it's this impression that it's about what things look like, how big things are and strong things are. Jesus says the kingdom of God is totally opposite to the kingdom of the world. Totally opposite. It's upside down. He flips it upside down. Firstly, because the king of the kingdom is totally different. The picture Jesus paints of the king, God, the Father, is nothing like what you would expect of a king or a ruler. It's a servant. It's the one who comes to wash feet, to be at the bottom rung of the ladder, not the one at the top, which is totally contradictory to what everybody ever thought. But God's in the heavens. God is powerful. And Jesus says, if you want to know what God's like, look at me. And he serves them, even to the point of death. So a king whose bias is the bottom, not the top. And secondly, the kingdom comes, and this is key to what Jesus says about receiving it like children, in a totally different way to other kingdoms of the world. If you live in a time where a kingdom comes by an army advancing, maybe taking several thousand lives, stationing barracks and troops, you can imagine that God's kingdom might need to come in the same sort of way. You can see why the zealots thought that. And then Jesus comes along and he says all these parables, things like this. The kingdom of God is like a sower that sowed seed, that's buried underground and just slowly starts to grow where no one's watching. How different to a kingdom that comes powerfully and through violence and force. In fact, Jesus always invites people into the kingdom. He never forces anyone. He never says, you must follow me. In fact, he turns some people away because they're not ready to hear it. And I wonder whether children were actually able to receive this kind of kingdom much better than adults were. Because children aren't really yet corrupted by this idea of power and control or this desire for greatness. They're not. They're not corrupted by that. And so I'm going to just share a couple of points on what I think it means to receive the kingdom like children. And to do this, I just want to look at one or two other passages. When you're reading a story like this, what can be really helpful is to look at the ones either side of it that kind of act as lamps that shed light into the story that you've just read. These passages aren't in isolation. The writer of the Gospels were very clever and strategic. There's always purpose to what they're writing. And so, I don't know whether we could actually pull up the next passage, Jonathan. The passage that follows is Jesus starts on his way again. And a man runs up to him and falls on his knees before him. And he says to him, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus says to him, why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. Do not defraud. Honor your father and mother. Basically, obey the commandments. And this man says to him, teacher, all these things I have kept since I was a boy. Jesus looked at him and loved him. One thing you lack, he said. Go, sell everything you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. And Jesus looked around to his disciples and said, how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of heaven. What a contrast to the previous story that is. You have these children, they're not, you know, they don't have wealth. Kids didn't have wealth. And then you have this rich man who can't receive the kingdom because of his wealth. And what I want to emphasize here is that actually it's not being rich that stopped this man accepting the kingdom of God. It's not because he had money at all. Wealth didn't rule him out. It's just that for him, it was too big a hindrance. He'll never have been able to enter it because of these, of what he was holding. And children are free to receive and embrace the kingdom of God because they're not encumbered by all these things. And you could change in any number of things there for wealth. Unforgiveness, pride, self-righteousness, things that we hold on to that stop us seeing and receiving God's kingdom in our midst. I think that's a really powerful story to shed light on what Jesus meant by receiving the kingdom like little children. There's a passage just before it, actually, where the Pharisees are arguing about divorce. And they're asking Jesus, you know, is it lawful for us to divorce? And Jesus, in classic Jesus style, sees what they're trying to do. And he points out the hypocrisy by saying, you're arguing about technicalities. This is about the heart. Another contrast. These people caught up in these religious games, and then it leads into these children, innocent children, not encumbered by these arguments. What a contrast, the middle of this passage where Jesus says, you must receive the kingdom like children, in the middle of these two stories. So, children, unconcerned with power, unconcerned with wealth, not playing worthiness games. Am I worthy enough? Not trying to earn it. Unless you can receive the kingdom of God, Jesus says, freely, gratefully, and joyfully, in spite of yourself, you'll never enter it. Not that you're not welcome, just that you'll miss it. You will miss it. You won't see it. You won't have eyes to see it. So do we have eyes to see it today? Do we have eyes to see what God is doing among us in our conversations with one another? What God wants to do here with us? We can only see it if we receive it freely and gratefully to see what's there. And this morning, we're going to share communion together. One of the things I love about this symbol of the Christian faith is that it sheds it tells us 1,000 things about what God is like. There's so much to this table, this symbolism. And this morning I'm reminded why we do this, that we gather around this table partly so we won't miss this thing of the kingdom of God and receiving it like children. Because this bread and this wine is a reminder of the type of kingdom that we are part of and that we receive. One thing I take from this is that it's a reminder that the highest value of the kingdom of God is love. Love that would suffer for us. Love that would lay down its life for us. And it's a reminder that the kingdom of God is totally opposite to the kingdoms of the world, that it doesn't come through control and force and violence, but generously to everyone that would receive it. And so for us this morning, as you take communion, taking communion is a sign that you will receive this kingdom, that you'll receive it like a child, freely. Nothing you can do. You didn't do this. Jesus did. And taking communion is a sign that we join in with this kingdom. We partake. You know, the scripture says that you partake in the Lord's death until he comes. That we join in, that we say, yes, we'll be part of this revolution that lays down its life for the sake of us. So I'm just going to read some words from 1 Corinthians, and then we're going to move into a time of communion. And how we'll do this, I think, is that we'll have some worship playing, and during that time, you're welcome just to come forward and take the bread and take the wine as a sign that you know, it's an active sign this morning that we're going to be part of this, that we're going to take part in this kingdom and receive. So some words from the Apostle Paul writing to a church in Corinth. He says, and I love that he starts this with received, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, as he would do for a meal, he gave thanks and he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat of this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you so much that you are present with us today. We thank you for the symbol of bread and wine, of these earthly items, Lord, that are available to us all today. Thank you for the reminder that your kingdom does not come with force, but it comes humbly and gently, and invites us to take part. Help us today, Lord, to receive your kingdom like children, open-hearted, joyful, grateful. May we be present to this moment and present to you in this moment and to one another. And give us eyes to see, Lord, and ears to hear. In other words, help us to be in tune with you and with your spirit, to encourage one another, to strengthen one another, and to hear your voice.